But I just so appreciate the richness of what God has done and just the privilege of being able to come together, but also the love and the warmth and the support that I have felt, which as I'm taking a step, which for me feels like a pretty big step. I feel like I'm kind of over my head. Did you ever feel like that? It's a pretty big step. I won't spell it all out to you, but it's a pretty big step of faith. But you know, my dad, he used to say, the next time the Lord lets me down, it'll be the first. And I don't know how many times I've said that, especially these last couple of years. I've said, Lord, you've never let me down. You've never let me down. So, Lord, with all of my heart, I'm trusting you now. Abba, Father, Abba, Father, Abba, Father. Give me a hearing ear. Cause me to hear, Lord. If I just know it's you, I'm willing to say yes. And I've learned that as we're willing to say yes, it releases the divine enabling and the grace that we need to do that which he is calling us to do. So I just want to thank you again all for just being here. I just love the gate. I love Whole Word Fellowship. It's just such a delight, those who have come on behalf of Perusia. Just such a delight to be together, and I just so appreciate what God is doing. I felt like tonight I actually had something else prepared, and I still have it here. Who knows? But I felt that I would just share a little bit of my testimony with you tonight. Some of you are familiar with this, but I felt like I wanted to share it anyhow. But I basically grew up in Bible schools. I was 4 years old when my dad went to Bible school, then he went to another Bible school, and then he started a Bible school. So that was my life, Bible school. And I grew up with people who knew Christ. I didn't really grow up in an environment where there were saved and unsaved people. But I grew up in an environment where there were those who were in school for whatever reason. Maybe their parents wanted them there. Maybe they were looking for a spouse. We used to call Pinecrest Bridal Training Center, you know. People there for all kinds of reasons. But then there were those who had a heart hunger. They had a burning desire for the Lord. They had set aside this amount of time to go to Bible school, and they had a passion to meet with God. So I kind of grew up in the church amongst Christians, and it was those who were hungry for the Lord, and there were those who were just kind of squeaking by. And I can remember when the Lord began to work in my life, and he took me from that point. Now, let me tell you, at Bible school, there's a lot of rules. I remember when we were at Elam. The girls wore uniforms, and the guys were on this side, and the girls were on this, and they used to measure the skirts. And then we went to Pinecrest, and again, when you have that many people living together so closely, you need some guidelines, you know, you need some rules, just for 2 years. But I wasn't there for 2 years. I was growing up in Bible school, and I was just surrounded by rules and regulations, and I didn't really like it. Can you imagine? Now, not that I was trying to be immodest, but when the mini skirts were in style, I just wanted my skirt so it was touching the top of my knee. I didn't want it 2 inches below my knee. You just want to be in style. You want to fit in with the other kids. You know, you want to blend. But I grew up with all these rules and with all these regulations, and there was just something in me that wanted to rebel. Won't go into that. Don't you laugh, Fitz. But I can remember I had an understanding of heaven. I had an understanding of hell. And even though my basic nature was rebellious, I didn't want to go to hell. So basically, I knew right, I knew wrong, and that's the way I lived my life, doing enough right so that I was sure to go to heaven. But I can remember when the Lord began to awaken me to a love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, where the Lord took me from that place of just a fear of hell governing my life and my decisions to a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And many of you have heard me mention Hattie Hammond. She was ordained under the Assemblies of God. She was probably in her 80s when I spent time with her. But she was so in love with Jesus. She would just glow when she talked about Jesus. She just loved Jesus. And I looked at her and I said, I want to be able to say Jesus the way she says Jesus. I want to glow the way she glows when she talks about Jesus. Just her life, not her teachings or her sermons, or though they were good too, but it was her life. It was her countenance. It was the joy on her face. It was what she carried. That presencing of God that created a hunger in me for more of the Lord. My dad, he could see something was happening in my life, so he started sending me tapes. Whenever he felt like they had a special chapel or something, he would send me the tape so that I could hear what was being said. And through the teaching and through that hunger and that desire for the Lord being stirred up in me, it no longer became, well, what can I get away with? But my emphasis became, how much closer to God can I get? How much can I know him more? How much can I spend more time in his presence? What more can I do to please the Lord? How can I walk in greater fellowship and greater communion with him? John Wright Follett, he talks about a principle of divine displacement, where our love for the Lord becomes sufficient enough to cancel out our self-life as our love for him grows and begins to take residence in our heart. And that's exactly what I experienced. It wasn't that, oh, now I have to die to this and have to die to that. Now I can't do this and I can't do that. It was like, oh, this is so wonderful. This is so good. Who wants that anymore? That love for Jesus just began to displace other things in my life that maybe not even all of them were wrong, but were they of any value? Was there any eternal reward for the way I was spending my time and for what I was doing? And as my love for the Lord began to grow and govern my life and rule the choices I was making, transformation began to happen inside of me. Began to change. You can't help but change. Who we are is a result of choices that we make. Every day I'm making choices. I'm deciding what I'm going to do, how I'm going to spend my time, what I'm going to think about, what I'm going to listen to. And as we're making these choices and making these choices, there's transformation taking place. And I began to experience that transformation within my life. And I can still remember when one of my friends, she had been a student at the Bible school, but we had become buddies, even though I was younger. She was talking to me once on the phone, and she said to me, "Who are you anyhow? Who are you? Something has changed about you. You're different. You're not the same person you used to be." And I realized that something had changed. And this little testimony has basically given you the progression that is found in the Song of Solomon. Starting with the first verse where it talks about the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. I know there's different approaches to the Song of Solomon. The comments I'm going to make tonight are going to be based on a devotional application of the Song of Solomon to our lives. But there comes within the bride an awakening to the love song of the Lord. That's what happened to me. I became awakened to his love. Once that awakening came to his love, there came spiritual hunger, spiritual desire, draw me, followed by commitment. We will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers, that personal experience of the Lord's presence. And then tell me, O thou whom my soul lovest, where thou feedest, where thou causest thy flock to rest at noon. The scripture tells us very clearly that those that seek the Lord, they'll find him. And that's exactly what happened to the bride in the Song of Solomon. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh. Leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the window, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing is come. And the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. There's come an awakening to the love song of the Lord. Hunger has come. With that hunger, a commitment. A seeking, tell me where thou feedest. And there's come that sense of the Lord's presence, that sense of his blessing, starting to hear, starting to understand, starting to enter into a time of deeper communion and fellowship with the Lord. But then what happens in chapter 3? By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. It doesn't say here that she did anything wrong. It doesn't say that she was being punished. She was at a point in her life where she was seeking the Lord and desiring the Lord with all of her heart. And all of a sudden it's, where is he? What's happening? What is he doing? Times of blessing, times of testing. We will have both within our lives. And as you look at this night season, The key in this passage, as we look at it, is that she said, I'm going to seek him. She didn't find him. It wasn't just a bad day. I found him not. And the watchmen are saying, she's asking the watchmen if they saw him. And then she says, it's but a little while I passed from them, but I found him. I held him, and I would not let him go. Times of blessing, times of testing. But when we make that determination within our spirit that we're going to seek after him, it doesn't matter if I'm feeling that sense of blessing or if I'm not, if I'm feeling his presence, if I'm not. It doesn't matter. I've made a commitment. I've become awakened to his love song. And how can I do anything but seek after him? Desire him with all of my heart. Others may not understand. They might say, what is wrong with you? Why can't you be satisfied? Why can't you be happy? But yet that yearning, that hunger, that desire, I sought him. It was but a little while that I passed by all the other comforts that could have been offered to me as a substitute. But I found him whom my soul loveth, and I held him, and I would not let him go. If you look at the latter part of chapter 5, I love this. An awakening, hunger, desire, commitment, seeking, some good times, some hard times, but coming to know her bridegroom, her heavenly bridegroom. She is able, in the last verses of chapter 5 of the Song of Solomon, she is able to give an intimate description of her bridegroom. Intimate detail about her bridegroom. And then she says, this is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Through the inner working of the Lord within her heart, Song of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 10, she comes to the place where she's able to say, I am my beloved's. His desire is toward me. See the approbation and the favor of God. I am my beloved's. There's a little song that we sing in church circles. He is Lord, he is Lord, he is risen from the dead. And then we sing it, he's my Lord, he's my Lord. We personalize it. I was singing that song in a prison once with my little auto harp to some inmates, singing, he is Lord, he is Lord. And when I just went into that second verse and started to sing, he's my Lord. All of a sudden, I was singing alone. They stopped singing with me. There's a big difference. And there was enough of the anointing and the presence of God there that they realized they couldn't say that. He's my Lord. He's my Lord. Even within the church, I believe that there's more who know Jesus as their Savior than Jesus as their Lord. But here she is able to say, I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me, that approbation, that favor of God. And then, come my beloved. I love this. This is the heavenly bridegroom speaking. Come my beloved, let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. Let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us see if the vines flourish, whether the tender grape appear. and the pomegranates bud forth, there will I give thee my loves. Remember John 17, the prayer of Jesus that we would become one, even as he and the Father were one, that we would be one with them. I am my beloved's. His desire is toward me. Then that place of being joined together in the heart of God and in the purposes of God, as the Lord begins to share his heartbeat with us and invites us to be involved with those things that are on his heart. If we look at Song of Solomon, chapter 8 and verse 8, we have a little sister. What shall we do for our sister in the day she be spoken for? If she be a wall, we will build upon her a palace of silver. If she be a door, we will enclose her with boards of cedar. That speaks of having the right word at the right time. Why? Because I've been spending time with the Lord. I've come to that place of, through being in his presence, of becoming joined with him, of understanding his thoughts, of knowing his heart. And his heart can now find expression through me as I'm with others. If she be a wall speaks of some stability. Build on her a palace of silver. If she be a door, you know, is kind of this way one day and that way the next, swinging back and forth. We're going to enclose her. We're going to love her. We're going to protect her with boards of cedar. Then she said, I am one who found favor in his eyes. That sense of being loved by God. I've had people say to me, oh, if I could just know that I was loved, if I could feel love, if I could experience love. Years ago, I went through an experience that totally disillusioned me. I'd been serving the Lord. Circumstances happened that just hurt me to the core. Just hurt. I couldn't believe the things that had happened. And I had pretty much taken Proverbs 8:17 and based my life on it. I love where it's saying, I love those who love me, those who seek me early will find me. And I took that verse before the Lord. You were talking about that, of coming before God. But I took that verse before the Lord and I said, you said that you love those who love you. And that those who seek you early will find you. Now, I know that your love is not based on me being perfect, or none of us would ever be loved. I know that it's a love that responds to our desire to love you. He agapes the whole world. He gave his life for the whole world. But there's that approbation, that favor of God, that love in the heart of God, where God responds to those who love him. Because you have set your love on me, therefore, you see it all through scripture. I said, now, Lord, one thing I know, I have set my love on you. And you said that you love those who love you, and I don't feel very loved. And I probably... You know how we do, we forgive and it comes to mind and we forgive and it comes to mind and we forgive. Keep making that choice of forgiveness, but it's still coming to mind, so obviously it's still there. But I made that choice of forgiveness for probably a year and a half. As I was saying to the Lord, you said you love those who love you. I said, I've been telling people that you love those who love you. I said, I can't spend my life telling people that if it's not true. I have to know, do you love those who love you? And I can remember one night I was on Long Island. We got some folks here from Long Island. Yeah. But I was on Long Island, had my little auto harp, and was closing a service. And the Lord took me in his presence. There was nobody behind me, but it was one of the two times that happened to me. And as I was on the floor with my auto harp, the Lord in his presence, I don't know how to describe it, but it was almost like fire. And in a moment, I saw everything I had been through. I mean, just a moment of time, I could see it. And then I saw the excellency of who God was and what he was doing in my life. And just that quick, what had happened to me, it just totally cremated. It was like so unimportant. In light of eternity, it just wasn't important. It really didn't matter. Because what he was doing was so much more excellent. It was so much more powerful what he was doing. And I never had to make that choice of forgiveness again. It was gone. And it was later that I was up at the Bible school in the small chapel, called it the fireplace room. And I was closing the service, and again I had my little auto harp. And I was just expressing God's love to the people. And as I did, I don't know who it was, but somebody yelled out from the congregation, well, we love you too and your family. And boom, down I went. So again, with my auto harp, and they said that when I went down, I turned. Otherwise, I would have gone in the fireplace. But I went beside. But for 6 hours, I was in God's love. I don't know how else to explain it. I don't know how to describe it. But when I came out of that presencing of God, I knew that God loved those who loved him. I don't care what happens. I don't care who says what, does what, what comes down the road. One thing I know, God loves me. And I can say with an authority, he loves you. He loves those who love him. Those who seek him early shall find him. And that's the understanding here in the Song of Solomon. I was one as one who found favor. See, the favor of God, the approbation of God. If there's anything that we need today, it's his favor, his approbation, his blessing resting upon our lives. There's those within our nation who has not valued the blessing of God. They're not seeking after his blessing. I can't live one moment of one day without it. I have to have his blessing. And it's available if we will just love him. You know what? Our problems are not too hard for God. Isn't that amazing? Our problems are not too hard for God. He can deal with them. If we'll just set our love on him. As we look at this beautiful progression in the Song of Solomon, starting with just an awakening to his love, and then a hunger and a commitment, a coming into that place of communion and fellowshipping with him, being able to stand during times of testing, but then being brought into that place of knowing the Lord and being able to participate with him and that which is on his heart and that which he is doing. There's that same verse in here that Someone had said to me, and I love that, who is this that comes up from the wilderness? Who is this anyhow? Who is this? Who is this people? Who is this? And I love to go back to Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 1. I like to read it in the Amplified. I'm only a humble lily of the valley that grows in deep and difficult places. Nothing special about me. I don't have any special gifts. I don't have any special talents. Nothing special about me. But you know what? I heard his love song and I started to respond. And now his favor rests upon me. There was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful corporate anointing finding expression this morning. That's a result of not just singing songs. When you look at the word worship in the Bible, the first time it's mentioned is when Abraham was offering Isaac. He was laying all on the altar. And for the sound that we heard this morning to come forth, that's a people who have laid their lives down, not out of legalism, but out of a love for the Lord Jesus Christ, where there's a melody that's able to come forth, see, an overcoming people with a song. It's a new song that's coming forth. He's redeemed us. He's washed us with his blood. He's made us kings and priests unto our God, and we shall reign where? Where? We shall reign on the earth. We shall reign on the earth. Why? Because he's reigning in here. He's reigning in here. I have fallen so in love with Jesus that he's reigning in here. So he's now able to reign not only in me, but through me. An overcoming people brought up into the higher purposes of God, that a move of God might come forth, for there is yet a visitation to come across this nation. There is yet a move of God as an overcoming people, a people who are willing to allow the Lord to work in here so that he can then move out there. There's a corporate anointing that the Lord is bringing forth in this hour. There's places marked by the presence of, you know, if I'm going to have a place marked by the presence of God, first, I have to become a person of his presence. That's what I sensed in Hattie Hammond, not just another good speaker. There was a presencing in her life. Made me hungry for the same thing. But if there's going to be places marked by the presence of God, there has to be people marked by the presence of God. And it's just falling in love with Jesus. It's so easy. It's so simple. As I become awakened to his love song. Do you hear his song? The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Do you hear his love song? And how can you hear such love without responding? How can you hear it without responding? And as we begin to respond, that opens the door for him to work and to move. And everything else falls into place. An overcoming people, and that's the burden that God has put on my heart. The preparation, and Deborah, you said it so well. The preparation of a people for the end time purposes of the Lord. What is that? A people so in love with Jesus. So in love with Jesus that his kingdom is being established and finding expression in the earth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's just pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Your love song. Your love singing over our lives. Your love singing in our hearts. Father, I'm asking. I want to ask for a baptism of love tonight. For a releasing of your love. A releasing of your love in us and through us. Father, that when we go from here, there will be something within our presence that will cause somebody to want to know Jesus. I'm asking for that love. We have called this a Holy Ghost and Fire conference. And Lord, your fire is burning within your people. There's a purifying, there's a cleansing so that your love can come forth like never before. Touching hearts, touching lives. Bringing people into the body of Christ. Has there ever been such a need for true love in the world? Has there ever been more counterfeits for love in the world? Father, I'm asking for that releasing of your love tonight. Lord, any here tonight who are hurting? Lord, any here tonight who need your fire to burn within? Maybe there's that place where they're still choosing to forgive. Let your fire come, Lord. Let your fire come. Let your fire burn. Father, I'm asking for that understanding of your upward call, Lord, that vision of that which you're doing, that which you're speaking, that which you're saying, Lord, to wash everything else away. That your love might not only take residence, but it might find expression. We thank you, Lord Jesus. I just want to thank you for your love. I just want to thank you for your love. I just feel like I don't want to be in a hurry for a minute. You know, sometimes when we just take a moment to open up our hearts in the presence of God, it allows the Lord to come in, to work, and to move. So I just want to take a moment to linger in the presence of God. That, Lord, you might do what you want to do in each heart and in each life here. The touch of your Holy Spirit, the touch of your presence, that sense of blessing. Hallelujah. That understanding of your calling, of your purpose. Thank you, Lord. Just touch each one, touch each heart. Bless each one, I pray. We thank you for that releasing of your anointing, of your presence, of your love, your power, your might. We thank you, Lord. Just bless each one, I pray. Each one, Lord, here tonight. Let your love touch every heart. Meet every need, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We just thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Nancy, thank you.